Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Now, there's a fantastic new book out at the moment, which is a biography of a man labelled the greatest footballer that ever lived, Di Stefano. Of course, people might talk about Pele, they might talk about Maradona. Pele looked up to this man. He was the idol of Johan Cruyff, better than best, some say. But does he get the recognition he deserves? Well, let's talk to the author of this this new book. It's called Di Stefano, and the man behind it is Ian Hawkey. Morning to you, Ian.
Morning to you, Steve.
Do you think I'm correct in saying that? Maybe he doesn't get the recognition that your Pelés and your Maradonas have received?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. When people, well, as young and us and younger talk about the greatest of all time, sometimes they leave him out. People older than us don't. But I think that's partly to do with the era and a lot to do with television. He wasn't lucky enough to play football when colour television was working. So, yeah, I think he suffers slightly for that. Rather as, you know, say Stanley Matthews would.
Mm. Perhaps looking at the background as to why you decided to do this book, you covered Real Madrid in a big way, and you got to know Di Stefano and some of the people around him while based in Spain. So you had quite a close connection there.
Yes, he was an interesting fellow, which is also partly why I wanted to write the book. He could be very gruff and grumpy, but he could also be quite thoughtful and kind, and I saw that side of him when he was much older and retired, but still very much involved in Real Madrid. He was the honorary president, and he spent a lot of his time there, and they had a very nice sort of community there of former greats, and you know, it was a bit like a sort of retirement club, and they would hang around in a very convivial way, and not over nostalgically, but you know, enjoy talking about the great days, and they really were great days in the 1950s and early 60s.
A retirement club for great footballers, the very greatest of footballers. Alfredo Di Stefano, just paint the picture of why he should be considered amongst the greats. What his honours list and everything that went around him. What is it that is so captivating about this footballer?
Well, I think he really changed the way football was played, and he also changed a lot the way footballers worked. I think every multi-millionaire footballer, and there are plenty of those, as you know, owes a little bit to Alfredo Di Stefano, who was a very, very sort of unionized individual. He stuck up to authority, and he was playing in a day when footballers were very exploited compared with now. So there's that sort of off the field stuff. I mean, I wouldn't say he did all this for the sake of his larger community. He was pretty self-centered in many ways too. But on the field he really was spectacular, and he was the total footballer. Even Cruyff would have said that of him before everyone associated total football with Cruyff, in that he was not just a center forward, he was not just a sprinter, he was the guy who was tracking back, before people used the phrase tracking back. He was a phenomenal athlete and a great leader. And then there's the numbers, you know, the numbers of goals, the longevity. He was doing these sort of Ronaldo and Messi type statistics way back 50, 60 years ago.
When he joined Real Madrid, and that was only 1953, it pretty much outlines how he became the first great icon of that club. I don't know whether in people's minds or perceptions they'd think it would go further back than that from Real Madrid in terms of great players. But was he the first real standout character at Real
Madrid? Yes, in many ways, and you're absolutely right about that. I think we tend to regard now Real Madrid as having been this great club, this hugely successful, serially successful club for 100 years or so. They were pretty ordinary before he arrived in the mid-50s, and it was very much Atletico and Barcelona at that time were the top dogs. Real Madrid had always had this sense of their own grandeur and importance, but they needed somebody to drive this, and they very fiercely fought for this player who had become a very big name in South America, but not played in Europe. They brought him over. There was a massive tug of war with Barcelona for him, which got very complicated and very political. And they really genuinely never looked back from that. And you see it now when you go to the Bernabeu. Their stadium in the training ground is the Alfredo Di Stéfano training. But there's no doubt that all Madridistas would say this is the most important player in our history, with apologies to Ronaldo, but he defined them.
And part of that love affair with Di Stéfano is that Real Madrid really is a club that represents European domination. And actually, this began in the 50s under his leadership almost. He was almost the front runner in guiding Real Madrid to become European champions. How many times?
Five times, the first five European Cups. Now, I mean, that's the other thing that he's important for. The European Cup needed him because it was, it was launched amid some scepticism, especially from England, actually, in the mid-50s. Do we really need this competition? What's it all about? And you had this fantastic superstar in a team that was also becoming quite international. So they had this Argentinian-born Di Stéfano. They then got players from France and more from South America. And they were incredibly glamorous. Anybody who watched them from all over Europe thought, "Raul, this is football how it should be played. This is football how we're going to have to learn to play it." And he really was at the center of this. And he scored a goal in every one of those five victorious finals. So there was no question that he was the single figure that defined the beginning of the European Cup.
Talk about making your mark on those finals. A goal in each one of a European Cup final, that is something else.
Absolutely. And some of them were close, Maybe we have this idea without looking at it that this team just waltzed into this thing and bulldoze everyone aside. No, there were some close finals. There were some near misses on the way. It was all great theatre.
Just a final thought, and of course you mentioned maybe the politics of the man himself, the playing career, but also made headlines as well for being kidnapped in 1963.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This is the other thing that I really discovered that he was very much football's first global superstar in the sense that he was recognised around the world. I mean, obviously, Stanley Matthews was well known, but very much well known in England and to a lesser extent Europe. This guy who sort of straddled South America and Europe and was the figurehead of the main competition, as I said, he was a global superstar, and that came with a bit of a cost. He had some of the difficulties with celebrity. He had some of the benefits of celebrity in terms of wealth. And then in the early 60s, when Real Madrid were on a world tour, because they were global icons, he was kidnapped quite frighteningly in Venezuela. And he was detained for nearly 3 days. There were weapons involved. He was threatened. And then after a bit, when he told stories about this, and in fact some of his captors later told stories about this, it turned out that he was a pretty tough prisoner as well, and by his account, he started giving orders to the guards around him. So this is very much part of his myth, but it was genuinely frightening, and of course it made headlines all over the world.
And what a tough man. He played for Sao Paulo the day after he was released. That's the spirit.
Absolutely. They made him play, we won't give in to terrorism sort of thing. I have to say, nobody thinks he played very well that day, but I think we can forgive him that.
Hey, I think there's a let-off there. A superb book, Alfredo Di Stéfano. Or did you say Di Stéfano or Di Stéfano?
Di Stéfano.
Di Stéfano. Yeah. It's already been recognised, this book, Ian, hasn't it?
Yes, actually. It's just been nominated for the Football Book of the Year Award, the Cross Football Book of the Year Award. Announced next month, I think.
Best of luck on that one. It looks fantastic. So if you want to get your hands on it, Ian Hawkey has written it. And thanks for your company this morning, Ian.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Super stuff. It's Radio City Talk.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.